Hallelujah. Tom, you scared everybody off. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen.
The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
The one who has the name above all names.
Yeah.
The one who is our King. The one we love and adore.
Yeah.
Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, Lord, that we can revel, we can enjoy your love, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that our hearts are open to hear from you, Lord. I come in meekness and weakness, in your strength, Father. We thank you for your word, which is true and living, Lord. Speak to us, touch us, help us to find out who you really are, that you really are who you say you are, that you do love us, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to be with you this morning. You know, the topic for this conference is the heart of the gospel. So if you go to your notes, I'm going to stick to my notes, the first couple of pages, and then we're going to go off to what the Lord spoke to my heart this morning to do. So we're not going to be in our notes for much this morning, but I want to start in my notes. The word gospel in the Thayer's definition, it says this: it is a reward for good tidings, the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, soon to be set up, and subsequently also of Jesus the Messiah, the founder of this kingdom. B, the glad tidings of salvation through Christ. The proclamation of the grace of God manifest and pledged in Christ, the gospel. You know, it's interesting in Africa, we don't say gospel, we say evangeli. Amen. Evangeli. But what does evangeli mean? You know, if you go and ask somebody in the street who's not a believer and you say, what is evangeli? They say, oh no, to sing gospel songs. What is evangeli? Ah, Rebecca Malope. That's what the world thinks is evangeli. Even the word gospel is a Greek word. It's not even English. But we say, no, it's gospel. In America, you go and ask somebody, we're going to preach the gospel. They think, oh, you're going to get a country and music gospel singer. And we have this image of what is the gospel. We don't even know what is the gospel. We just say, no, gospel is church. You go and ask somebody, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Ah, it's church. Kereke. Amen. It's true. But I want to tell you this morning, the gospel isn't kereke. The gospel is not good Christian music. The gospel is good news. You want to know why people are not coming to church? Because they are not hearing the gospel. They are hearing church. They are hearing religion. They're not hearing the gospel. Good news. You know what they are hearing when they come to church? Sada. Bah. Amen. And we're beating people and we wonder why they don't want to come to church. Because we have replaced the law of Moses with a new set of laws.
Yeah.
And we are calling that the gospel.
Yeah.
We've just taken old covenant laws and we put in Jesus' name on the end.
Yeah.
And that's why we say, no, that is the gospel. We've just replaced laws. We've actually added more. Amen. Strong's definition. It says to announce good news, especially the gospel, to declare, to bring, to show glad and good tidings, to preach the gospel. The gospel is good news. It is not a new set of laws. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what is the power of God, my friend? It says, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice verse 17. It says, for in it, for in what? In the gospel, a righteousness or the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know what we have done? We have said it is from faith to works. See, a gospel has been revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God has been revealed to us. That we no longer have to work to try and please God. We don't have to come with our own set of righteousness to say, if I'm doing all these things, God will be pleased. He will say I'm righteous, and now He will bless me. I must take my jacket off. Sorry. This gospel is fiery hot. But the Bible says here that there is a righteousness that has been revealed from faith to faith. What we have done, we've received it by faith, and then we've said, okay, Lord, let me show you what we can now do. You've given me righteousness, now I'll prove to you that I have righteousness by doing things. It says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by his faith, by what he believes, because this gospel is about what you believe, not about what you are doing. The good news of Christ is that He has given you and I a righteousness that has come from Him. That we are to receive it and allow it to affect our hearts so that I can do things. You understand? I'm not saying we don't do good things. Amen. You know, sometimes many people say, oh no, you're just giving people a license to sin when you tell them that God loves you unconditionally. Let me explain that for you. You know, if you go farming and you plow your field and you put the seeds in and you let those plants grow. You know that you go and you take poison and you spray poison on those plants to stop the insects from eating those plants. Amen. Now what happens if I take that poison and I drink that poison? Does the factory, they've got a little spy camera in that poison and they see me drinking the poison, so they send people from the factory to come and kill me. On the contents of that poison, it says harmful if swallowed. Dangerous. If you drink this, you will die. It doesn't say that the factory is going to send somebody to come and kill you if you drink it. Amen. The contents of that poison will kill you. Sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death. It doesn't say if I drink sin, God is going to kill me. Right. Hallelujah! Sin in itself will kill you. The wages of sin is death. The paymaster for sin is death. It doesn't say God will kill you if you sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know that God punished His Son Jesus Christ for your sin. He didn't reserve a little bit of punishment for you and me. If you believe God is going to punish you for your sin, then you are saying that the finished work of Jesus is not finished. You are saying He's reserved just a little bit of punishment. He didn't pour out His complete punishment upon His Son Jesus. He's reserved some for you because of your sin. Amen. Jesus, when He hung upon that cross, He said, it is finished. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If God has taken away the sin of the world, why do you think He's trying to punish you for your sin? There is a righteousness that has been revealed to us. That it is from faith to faith. Amen. God hasn't substituted the old covenant with new covenant laws. Somebody say, hallelujah! Look in your notes. It says, the good news of Jesus is the power of God. No good news, no power. We wonder why we go to church and we do not see the power of God. The reason why we don't see the power of God in church is because the good news is not preached. How many of you pastors have been on my crusades? Put up your hand. Many of you. Have you seen the power of God there? Many healings and miracles. Many people responding to salvation. Because they only hear good news. Only good news. If you preach, I promise you, pastor, minister, when you start to preach on the love of God, you will see God manifest Himself in healings, miracles and salvations effortlessly. You don't have to try and force it. Because God comes and shows up and He says, you know what, these people are talking about me. That I'm good. Well, let me show you how good I am. We don't have to force it. But you know, we have confused people because we say, no, God is good. But if you're sinning, then you're in trouble. Then you can't expect anything from Him. My friend, we have seen people on the crusade side who are not even saved getting healed. Then when we ask them, are you coming to testify? They say, no, we are going to the pub to celebrate. God is good to the righteous and the unrighteous. He's kind to the thankful and the unthankful. He's good to the evil and the good. Because He cannot change who He is. He is good. Hallelujah. When Jesus began His ministry, He proclaimed the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him for a specific purpose. To preach good news. Luke 4:17. And you know that same Spirit is upon you. To preach good news. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because of this, He has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives. Can you see God explaining what is the good news? To give sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And rolling up the book, returning it to the attendant, he sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But I want to say to you, the good news is found in Luke 4:19. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now the acceptable year of the Lord was the year of Jubilee. Where every 50 years, all debts were cancelled. And Jesus said that that day was fulfilled when He was there. Now read in your notes, it says, we are free from every debt without any effort on His part. So if I had a debt and I owed Pastor Allen a whole bunch of money, on the 50th year in the year of Jubilee, that debt was cancelled. And it was cancelled by no effort on my part. I didn't have to work for Him now to continue paying Him back. It was cancelled with no effort on my side. It was cancelled. And I was totally free from any obligation to Him. He goes on, he says, not only was the debt cancelled, but the penalty for the debt was also cancelled. Under the law, there is a curse attached to breaking the law. And our jubilee is that the law and the curse that came with it is cancelled. Our debt to the law has been cancelled and we are free from the penalty of sin. That is our acceptable year. We are free. We are free from the law and we are free from the curse and the penalty that came with that law. Yet we want to go and take the law and apply it to our lives. Quickly, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time today. I'm just going to preach until I'm happy. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. It says this. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren. Okay, who's he speaking to, you brethren? It's not a trick question. He's talking to the brethren, okay? Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things. How many things? All things. All means all. We are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, I cannot take the law of Moses and now try to justify myself. It says I could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now many people come and they say, no, Pastor Steve, you're just against the law. No, I'm not against the law. The law was designed, the Bible says it was our tutor, and if you go and see that word tutor, it means schoolmaster. It was my schoolmaster pointing me to Jesus. See, the law is designed, my friend, it is designed to do a few things. It's designed to administer death to you. It says this law, these commandments written and engraved in stones, which is a ministry of death. Ministry, it is designed, the law was designed to minister death to you. In Galatians 3 it says, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The law is a curse. It's decay. It makes you decay. But we want to take the law and we want to try and give it to people so that they can experience life. It produces death. It produces decay. It shows you that you cannot fulfill that law. Pastors, I like to do this in the pastors' conferences. The Bible says that there are two commandments that we have in the new covenant. What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Amen? Amen. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. Two commandments that Jesus says now in the new covenant we need to fulfill. How many of you sitting here can say with 100% honesty in all of your heart that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? You spend all of your time seeking Him. All of your time studying, loving Him with everything that you have, all of the time. Nobody. How? We are ministers here. Then the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. You think of your neighbor like yourself. That you are praying for him, baking cookies in the morning, thinking how you can bless him, mowing his lawn. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Anybody? Nobody. Hey. But we are ministers of the gospel. Amen. Amen. But the two commandments that God reduced from 10, we can't even do those two. My friend, this Christianity is not hard, it's not difficult, it's impossible. Yet we want to take that which is impossible and say, no, with God all things are possible, I can do it. My friend, you can't do it. This is about Christ in you. That the righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in me. It's been fulfilled in you. Because the righteousness that God has given is in you. It's not about doing things. It's about what you believe Jesus has done for you. See, when I believe what He has done in me, it enables me to do. But we are trying to do it, trying to please Him. Not knowing that He is pleased because you are in Him. It releases you. When you know that that God is pleased with you because you are in Him, it releases you from obligation. Because God is pleased with you because of who you are. You know, I tell that story. You know Peter and Glovo. Zimbabwe against South Africa. Peter Ngluvi has the ball. 1 minute to go. 0-0. Comes close. Peter Ngluvi shoots and he scores. All of Zimbabwe. Peter Ngluvi is the greatest. Next week, Zimbabwe is playing Botswana. Same story. No, no. 1 minute to go. Peter Ngluvi gets the ball. He drills past the defender. He shoots. He misses. All of Zimbabwe. Ah, this one is a Mudara. Everybody say, ah, he's an old man. We need a new striker. It's true. Because as long as you are performing right, people love you. But if you make a mistake, we need a replacement. Pastor, God loves you because of who you are, not what you are doing. And that goes the same for the people in your congregation. God loves them for who they are, not what they are doing. But we place demands upon them to fulfill things instead of loving them and letting it come from their hearts. See, your job as a minister is to proclaim good news. It's not to control people. You see, you know what? We are so, our self-worth is so tied up in our people that if when our people make a mistake, we think it's a reflection of us as a pastor. So we try to control them because if they live right, they make me look good. But if they're going through struggles, then you think you're a failure. Pastor, your job is to proclaim good news. You know those people are going to do what they want, when they want, how they want, no matter what you do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You're trying to control them, my friend. If you try and control them long enough, they're going to go somewhere else. And they're still going to do what they want to do. Your job, preach the gospel. Show them that God loves them. And allow God to change them. Instead of trying to control them and force them to obey some law which is just going to minister death. Love people. That's why God has called you. Yeah. We place demands on them and tell them, yeah, you must repent. No. Repent means change your mind. See who God really is, that He loves them and accepts them. God's love will change them quicker than you can. Right, I wrote there, now that we know a little bit about what the... Well, go to Galatians chapter 1, just before I go on. Galatians chapter 1, this is what Paul says. Have I skipped a page? Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach a good news to you besides what we preach to you, let him be accursed. Eesh. As we said before, and now I say again, notice what he says it twice. If anyone preaches a good news to you besides what you have received, let him be accursed. Accursed means to be banned or excommunicated. Saying, listen guys, if you're not preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, then you must be banned and excommunicated. Paul, hey, he was serious. He was serious here. He's saying, listen, if you're not preaching the gospel, you must be excommunicated. How? That is heavy. But he placed so much importance on what is the gospel. That this righteousness has been revealed to you. From faith to faith. Why are you trying to get people to work for righteousness when Jesus comes and gives it as a gift? And he said, if you're not preaching that, you must be banned and excommunicated. That's heavy, Pastor. Now that we know what the gospel is and what we are not to preach any other gospel, I've divided it into four areas. Who God is, what He has done in Jesus, who we are and what we are to do. So who God is, firstly, God is love. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love has not known God, for God is love. God, that is who He is. And we have known and believed the love that God has in us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. In this is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He who fears has not been perfected in love. We love Him because He first loved us. He first loved you, Pastor. And that's where I want to go now. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to go to the rest of my notes. I might go to something at the end. But I want to share with you something that I believe the Lord spoke to my heart this morning that He wants you to know. And this is the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now firstly, notice the question. What can you do to inherit something? Nothing. An inheritance is not based on you. An inheritance is based on somebody dying and leaving you something in His will. So, number one, it's the wrong question. There is nothing you can do to inherit something, including eternal life. But notice, He was testing him, because this guy was obviously confused. Notice what Jesus says. He says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? What do you see?" This is not what does Jesus see. He says, "What do you see?" He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." And Jesus says, "You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself. You see, remember Acts 13:38? You cannot be justified by the law. I cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Justified means to be made righteous. I cannot be made righteous by the law. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus answered him and said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Now notice, you know, many of us feel stripped, naked, wounded, alone, even as ministers. Even as ministers. Many ministers feel naked, exposed, wounded, alone. Many ministers. Ministering to people, but in their hearts, in our hearts, we feel like this. Alone, forsaken, exposed to people, trying to do our best, but never feeling good enough. Now, by chance, listen, Pastor, I want to just tell you, the Lord wants to speak to you this morning, okay? Open your heart. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A priest represents religion, or what you feel you have to do to please God. You see, when you fall into the trap where you feel like you need to please God, it's not going to help you. Still going to pass you by. You're still going to feel stripped, wounded, and alone. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. The law. By applying the law to your heart, by thinking in your heart, well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I listen to the 10 steps of that big CD series, maybe then it will help me. Jesus said this. He said, you know, Pharisees, you search the scriptures looking for life, but those very same scriptures reveal me. See, it's fine. We can't have a relationship with CD series. I can't have a relationship with a book. I'm having a relationship with the person of Jesus. Those things must help me to have a relationship with my Jesus and my Savior. You know, for a long time, I was having a relationship with many teaching series. Yet those teaching series are the ones who are teaching me about Jesus. But I just listen to the messages so that I can have another message to preach. Instead of knowing Him. Hallelujah. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan. Okay, now, when Jesus talks about a certain Samaritan, who's He talking about? He's talking about Himself. Okay? The Samaritan, the good Samaritan here is Jesus. As he journeyed, he came where he was. Notice it says he came where... Aren't you glad that Jesus comes where you are? Jesus will come to you. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And that word compassion, another word is grace. It means from his deepest bowels, he had pity and love. From the core of God's heart, he has a love for you. A compassion and a grace because you are valuable to him. He loves you when you are stripped, when you feel alone, when you feel naked and exposed, when you feel inadequate. It's when Jesus comes to you and he loves you right there. You see, sometimes you think that God only loves you when your ministry is doing well, when you are praying and reading your Bible. And you do those things and you think, you see, God loves me now because look what I'm doing. Listen, when you are exposed, naked, alone, God loves you then. Doesn't change because you're a minister of God. He loves you there. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And now that represents the Holy Spirit. And the wine is like an antiseptic. That's what they used it to stop it festering. And it represents the joy of the Holy Spirit. And he set him on his own animal. Notice there, it says that he set him on his own animal. He set him there, on that. So that he didn't have to struggle to the inn. He placed him on something that could carry him. He's the one who carries your burdens. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. On the next day when he had departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him. Now, in 2 verses it says, he took care of him. And the one, he didn't leave an expectation, take care of him for 1 month. He said, take care of him. You are eternally cared for. Eternally cared for. God cares for you. Didn't he just say, doesn't the Bible say that he even gives his angels to take care of you or take charge of you? He cares for you, Pastor. And he cares for you because you are his child, not because you are a minister. Yes, he cares about your ministry, but he cares about you. And he loves you. And you are eternally cared for because you are his son and daughter. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. But the story continues. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Notice what Jesus did. Who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard him. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Pastor, you can be much distracted because of a lot of serving. Serving, 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 that you're distracted and you're missing out what Mary did. What did Mary do? Sat at his feet. And notice what Martha says. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Now what did Jesus talk about with the Good Samaritan? He says you're eternally cared for. But when you get involved in much serving, you start to think that you are not cared for. And you go and you ask God, Lord, don't you care about me? Look what I'm doing. I'm serving all these people. I'm ministering to many people, Lord. Don't you care about me? You see, when your heart is not sitting at the feet of Jesus and you are not receiving from him, you are so busy serving that you yourself feel that you are not cared for. God cares for you, my pastor. Minister, God cares for you. And don't be distracted by much serving that you yourself feel that you're not cared for. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Notice what she was feeling, alone. See, Pastor, you can be so busy serving that you yourself feel alone. That you feel that you're the only one struggling on your own. God cares for you, Pastor. You are not alone. He says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You are loved and you are eternally cared for, Pastor.
Amen.
By Jesus, the Good Samaritan. And when you feel exposed, alone, afraid, where you feel you are not good enough, you have somebody, the Good Samaritan, who loves you unconditionally, who will come. He will come to you. He will care for you. He will bandage you. He's by His Holy Spirit, He will encourage you. And He will make you feel loved. Because you are valuable to Him. You are important to Him. He loves you, Pastor. He loves you, child of God. You are cared for. Not by what you are doing, but because of who He is and your value to Him. Do you not care that I'm alone? Therefore tell her to help me. Notice what Jesus says. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled. Notice what serving does. You feel alone. You start to worry and feel troubled. Hallelujah! About many things. But one thing is needed. Jesus said, only one thing, Pastor. One thing. He didn't say many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Pastor, there's one thing. What did she do? She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she heard Him. One thing. Don't be distracted by much serving, please. You're going to feel alone. You're going to be worried and troubled. And you know, many pastors feel like that. Feel alone. Receive from Him. Study the Word not to get another teaching. Study the Word to find out about Jesus and how much He loves you and cares for you. Why did you go into the ministry? Because you felt loved by Him. Amen. Turn in your notes. I'm almost finished. You'll see in your notes, it says who God is. God is Spirit. God is no respecter of persons. God is for us. God is faithful. He is not the author of confusion. He is one. It's page 12. God is not mocked. Page 13. God is not unrighteous to forget, Pastor. God is not ashamed to be called our God. Our God is a consuming fire. He is not tempted, nor does He tempt anybody. God is light. God is greater than our heart. Number two, what has He done in Jesus? All that God has done for us can only be understood in the finished work of the cross. The New Testament points to what has happened in His death, burial, and resurrection. Page 14. I've gone on. You can read that scripture for yourself. I'm just rushing through this. God has said and done everything in His Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law. He was chastened for our peace, bruised for our sickness, conquered all sin, conquered death, taken all judgment, appeased God's anger, and has reconciled the world to Himself. Who are we because of the cross? Saved, accepted, righteous, loved, forgiven, healed, blessed, a new creation. His workmanship, sons, conquerors, strengthened, crucified with Him, justified, sanctified, made alive, established and anointed. Hallelujah. So now you know a little bit about the gospel. What is our response? It says not to be ashamed of this gospel. Let's not be ashamed to proclaim the gospel, the good news. As ambassadors of Christ, we are to tell others to be reconciled. Be reconciled to God because He has reconciled Himself already. Preach the gospel that men may be saved. Make disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Not a follower of you, Pastor. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the shepherd is my Lord. Hallelujah. You lead people to Jesus. You don't say lead people to you. Hallelujah. We are to usher in His coming. Because the Bible says that He will come when this gospel has been preached. This gospel. Proclaim the whole gospel with signs following. Okay? Preach where others haven't. Defend this gospel. Defend this gospel. Don't make excuses. Defend this gospel. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, Pastor. You are eternally cared for. God cares for you no matter where you are, no matter what stage you are in ministry. He loves and He cares for you because of who you are as His child. As His son, as His daughter, somebody who is established and anointed. God loves you and He cares for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank You for every person that is here this morning, Lord. I thank You that no matter where they are in ministry, Father, they are not alone. They are not wounded and stripped and bruised. And even if they are, Father, I thank You that You will bandage them with Your oil, Your Holy Spirit, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank You that they are not alone. You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, that You are good to us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You minister to us. You come to us, Father. We thank You for this wonderful good news that we can proclaim this, Lord, of Your love for us. Thank You, Father, that You have called us to be ministers of this good news. And Father, we thank You that You love us so much, and our response is that we love You back, Lord. We respond to You, Father. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Tom.